the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And, folks, we are going to have a lot of fun this week leading up to Thanksgiving. By the way, if you want to be a part of our show today, write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'm a little miffed right now. May I share something personal with you? This just angers me. So we were, I was finally looking forward to a nice couple of days off, and we traditionally run a best of Thanksgiving Day edition of the show on Thursday and Friday. And so I was thinking, you know what? I'm finally going to get some time off. And I just got an email from Newsmax, and they're like, okay, you got a choice. You can either work Thanksgiving Day or Friday. I'm like, wait, what? What's going on with that? So, geez, Lou. So, anyway, I may end up having to be with you on TV one or two or both of those days. I just don't know. So, anyway, we'll figure all of that out. By the way, we have a lot happening around the nation right now, and we're going to be getting to that. Of course, the transition team is hard at work, and some of the new choices are not being very well received by conservatives. Now, I just need to warn you about something here, folks. And this is something that that you need to be aware of. Not all of Donald Trump's nominees are going to be Republicans. Not all of them are going to be conservative. Some of them are going to be radical leftist. I would say that RFK Jr. is a radical leftist. Now, I agree with him on some things. I don't think we ought to be polluting our food supply. And I also don't believe that we ought to be injecting the clot shot into kids. I mean, we can agree on that stuff, but that's pretty much where I draw the line with RFK Jr. And the new Surgeon General is pro-abortion. You also have the new Surgeon General, or at least the nominee. She is also really big on vaccinating kids. And I know a lot of you folks are really upset about this. A lot of Christians are upset. The new Treasury Secretary, a gay married man with kids, and people are all upset about that. It's just, I get it. But the reality is Donald Trump built a coalition to win the election. And therefore, he is being a man of his word, and he is appointing people to his administration. For example, the labor secretary, the proposed labor secretary, she's a radical leftist, even though she's a Republican who lost her seat. And so you're just going to have to come to terms with this and deal with it the best you can. There is a phrase we use, suck it up, buttercup. I mean, that's the reality of it all. So I have decided, and from day one, this has been my thought process. Donald Trump worked his butt off. He nearly got assassinated twice. So the guy should have in his cabinet whoever he wants. And I just have to trust that he knows what he's doing. That's really what I have to do here. Otherwise, I'll be pulling my own hair out. And I don't want to do that because I don't have a lot left. So I'm telling you, yes, there's a lot of controversy within some of the picks that came out over the past couple of days, but that's just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. And I am curious to see, especially on the Treasury Department side, how the left is going to attack this guy because he's a member of the alphabet community. It does make you wonder. So we're going to be getting into that. We've got a lot of audio to play. Also, we have an update on this crazy story out of, and I don't know when this guy's coming on. We're going to have Congressman Tim Burchett coming on the show sometime today. And he is fired up over what's happening at East Tennessee State University. And this is a big deal because your tax dollars are funding an art exhibit that portrays Christians as Nazis. It also attacks Donald Trump, House Speaker Mike Johnson. They defiled, they desecrated an American flag, and a lot of people are really upset about this. Now, the university came out with a statement, and they sent it to us late Friday, and the president of the university says, oh, this is just terrible. I've never seen anything. He said the entire exhibit was abhorrent. That's the word the guy used, abhorrent. However, he is not taking down the exhibit. And he says that that would be that there's an issue with state law. So my question is, what state law? Where is it in the Tennessee Constitution where it says our tax dollars have to be used to fund an exhibit that calls Christians Nazis? Could somebody in the great state of Tennessee explain that to me? So we're going to be talking to Congressman Tim Burchett about that just a little while. Also, some exciting news out of Texas, where public schools could soon be teaching kids reading, writing, and religion. The Texas State Board of Education voted to approve a new curriculum that introduces optional, that's the operative word here, folks, optional Bible-based lessons in elementary school. And basically, the curriculum would infuse Bible teachings into reading and language arts. Now, for those of you wondering if this is constitutional, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, the Supreme Court has already confirmed that the Bible is appropriate for instruction in classes like history and music, government, literature, and art. So you've got precedent there. Governor Greg Abbott says, hey, look, this is a great idea. This is going to help kids understand American history and culture. And I get it. The Muslims are in an uproar, and they're saying that this is not fair, that it favors Christianity over Islam. Well, yes, it does. And there's a reason why. The United States of America is a Christian nation. So why would we not be teaching the children, both Muslim and Christian, why would we not be teaching all of the children that our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian precepts and teachings? It literally forms the foundation of our great republic. As a matter of fact, if you go in, and I'll give you an example. If America had been founded under Islamic rule, well, first of all, there would not be an LGBT community. There would also not be any Christians, because we would not be allowed to practice our faith. However, under the Judeo-Christian form of government that we have, we are. You can be a Muslim, you can be Hindu, you can be an atheist, you can be a godless heathen, you could be LGBT, you can be whatever you want to be here in the United States of America. And the reason why is because of the belief system. Our Constitution, our founding documents were flavored, every single one of them are flavored with Judeo-Christian teachings. By the way, over in Louisiana, big controversy because the lawmakers want to put the Ten Commandments in all the public schools. In Oklahoma, you got the superintendent there. He wants a Bible in every single classroom in the state. I think these are terrific ideas. I mean, just think about this for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. One day, very soon, we could have a generation of children who know the Bible, obey the Ten Commandments, and actually know their God-given pronouns. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? That is something to be thankful for. So look, we're going to get into all of that. Also, what are you thankful for as we come up on Thanksgiving? I've got 47 things I am thankful for. I'm curious about you. What are you thankful for? And what's going to be on your Thanksgiving table this year? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, hang on tight, because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher, and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now. This is interesting. A new survey shows that nearly 35% of Americans consider turkey to be their least favorite food on Thanksgiving. This is from Fox News. Peter Burke is the writer. Nearly 35% of Americans surveyed are turned off by turkey. The survey, conducted by a website, The Vacationer, they polled over 1,000 American adults, asking which traditional Thanksgiving foods they dislike, and turkey actually ranked at the very top of the list, followed by stuffing and dressing and ham. About 12% of those surveyed said they like all of the dishes. Is that true? I am not a big turkey fan. I'm just going to be, confess to you, ladies and gentlemen, not a big turkey fan. I was just having this conversation. I was out for after church had lunch with some fellow church members, and we were having this very conversation yesterday. And as a matter of fact, we had six people at this lunch. Only one of the couples was actually planning on preparing turkey for Thanksgiving. The others had roast beef on the menu, and the other were doing a pork tenderloin. But according to the survey, the most disliked Thanksgiving foods in order, all right, you've got turkey, stuffing and dressing, ham, sweet potatoes or yams, cranberry sauce, and green bean casserole. So there you go. And at some point, I mean, if you hate all these things, you may as well just go to McDonald's or the Piccadilly. So there you go. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Are you turned off by turkey? According to Fox News, nearly 35% of Americans surveyed do not like turkey on Thanksgiving. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I'm curious, where do you get your news from? Earlier today on MSDNC, Joe Scarborough is just enraged because a lot of you are getting your news now from X, and it's not even Facebook, it's X, where many of you are now getting your news. And the mainstream media journalists have finally figured something out, that the jig is up, that most Americans are no longer tuning into the networks or even cable news for that matter to get their news and information. They are instead relying on what they see on X or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. So here's Joe Scarborough talking about these social media influencers.
Critics of the press are feeling more empowered than ever, to lie more than ever. I've had friends for years going, oh, you know, I'm so overwhelmed, Joe, by the news. I don't read the news. I go, well, where do you get your news then? Epic Times. I go, Oh, God. Oh, you get your news from a website run by Chinese conspiracy theorists in a Chinese religious cult. That is where you get the news. No. Or if social media, people lying every day, every hour, every minute about the news. What you do matters. What the New York Times does matters. What the Wall Street Journal does matters. What Jonathan Lemire does matters. What the Financial Times does matters. What NBC News and MSNBC reporters do matters. It matters. This is what gets me. If somebody pops off on Twitter or some other social media and they lie, They make mistakes. You know what the cost of that is? Nothing. They do it again. In fact, it helps them because algorithms are rigged. So you stir up and you the more you can get people angry, the more followers you get. But also now it's monetized right. to help you lie.
The more you hate, the more you make.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. Hey, Rev, did you preach for you next weekend?
That'll go viral.
I like that. But Jim, here's the deal that I explained to my friends that go into the gutter.
So there you go. That's Joe Scarborough. And look, the question is, what penalty is there for mainstream media journalists to go out there and lie every single day? And there is none. Joyless Reid is out there saying that Donald Trump is going to be shooting journalists in the streets. There have been no repercussions. Joyless Reid going out there and attacking white women as being racist. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the reality here is that there have been no penalties for anybody in the mainstream media, and they have been spewing these lies about Donald Trump, about conservatives, about Republicans for generations now, and they've gotten away with it. There have been absolutely no penalties. And then all of a sudden, Elon Musk comes along, buys Twitter, turns it into X, and then all of a sudden opens up the dialogue and gives conservatives a place to vent, gives conservatives a place to share news and information. And so now you have all of these people out there, CNN, MSDNC, Axios. We're going to play some of the audio from the Axios founder coming up in just a few moments. But they are enraged right now because you folks are now able to get the news outside of the traditional mainstream media platform. And they hate it because they no longer have a monopoly. And all of them are in cahoots. The New York Times, Washington Post, Associated Press, all of them are in cahoots. And they have been silencing the conservative voice. They've only been promoting one ideology. Whatever the left-wing narrative is, the mainstream media advances. And by the way, that's the reason why the newspaper industry is failing. That's why cable news is failing right now. When you look at the numbers coming out of MSDNC, they've lost over half their audience. Over half their audience. It's just unbelievable. Look at what's happening in talk radio. People are flocking back to talk radio because they know this is one platform where you're going to be able to get your news and information. And may I just say this, even in the world of talk radio, if you are listening to a talk radio program on a conglomerate-owned station, there's a pretty good chance that the host of that particular conglomerate are being censored. Now, I can tell you, I own my own radio station, and we allow for the free exchange of ideas on the radio station that I own, which is one of the reasons why I encourage people to go to kwamradio.com and download our free app so you can listen to uncensored conservative conversation, because there's a lot of that going on out there now that George Soros is buying up talk radio stations across America. So I am not surprised that there's a lot of pushback here, but I am curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Where are you getting your news and information? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? TikTok? X? Is it the CBS Evening News? Where are you getting your information? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. The story of MyPillow is a testament to faith and transformation. Mike Lindell, once battling addiction, found a new path when he embraced faith and began following Jesus. In gratitude, Mike is excited to share an exclusive offer with our listeners. Right now, the standard MyPillow is available for just $14.88, a savings that's too good to pass up. There's a limit of 10 per customer, so don't wait to take advantage of this amazing deal now with promo code STARNS. Mike believes God gave him the idea for MyPillow in a dream, and it's designed with your comfort in mind. The pillow holds its shape and adapts perfectly to your unique sleep position, helping keep your neck aligned for the best night's sleep. And there's more. Take home a four-piece kitchen set for only $25. Enjoy the new mattress topper at $99.99 or pick up the luxurious MyPillow bed sheet starting at $49.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock huge discounts. Don't miss out. Order today. All right. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you back with us. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's start our day in Jackson, Tennessee. Mike is listening to us today. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hey, you had asked about sources of news as opposed to traditional, you know, commercial media, like the MSNBCs and CNNs and those kind of folks. I think you were asking where people get their news.
Yes.
And there's a variety of websites that myself and a number of people with whom I associate get, you know, like Citizens Free Press. There's a lot of stuff that you can see on X. There's a lot of stuff on things like the Conservative Treehouse.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. When did you start bypassing, you know, the mainstream media for these alternative news and information sites?
A couple of years ago.
And what was it that compelled you to do that?
Well, if you listen to someone like Joe Scarborough or Joy Reid or any of those kind of people, their predispositions are so distorted. And the kinds of stories that they would tell. I mean, even longer ago than that, back in, say, 2015, 2016, when they came up with that fantastic story about how Trump was some kind of a Putin surrogate or some silly stuff like that. I mean, that pretty much ruined it for me.
You know, Mike, I am not surprised to hear you say that. And now for me, it was back in the 1990s, and this was when the Bill Clinton scandals were just starting to come out. And the only place that you could get information about that was on Drudge Report. And Drudge Report was really, at one point, Drudge Report was the number one website in the world. And the reason why is because they were out there breaking stories that the mainstream media was simply not covering, or they were covering up in the case of William Jefferson Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. So now, of course, Drudge Report's gone off the deep end, and they're controlled by anti-Trump forces. But there was a time back in the day when Drudge was it. And, of course, now you've got a plethora of websites out there, and the ones you just mentioned are all fine websites. Mike, appreciate that call. Also, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to bookmark ToddStarnes.com, because we have a lot of original content you're not going to see even in the conservative media world. So I would encourage you to go to ToddStarnes.com, bookmark it, and there's a little app. As a matter of fact, when you log into the website for the first time, it'll ask you, hey, do you want to follow, you know, these stories? Do you want updates when new content is posted? And just click yes, and you'll have access to all of that. All right, let's go to Sean in Mooresville, North Carolina. WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Sean, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm well, thank you for asking.
Okay, I want to add to what you were saying with, you know, that certain places are looking to put the Bible back in schools and the Ten Commandments. Well, I think somebody should get Mr. Trump's ear, President Trump's ear, and tell him A good thing, I think, they're going to redo the whole Department of Education and start rebuilding it. I personally think that they should have the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence for first graders through all the way through high school, and these kids should learn it front, back, and all around. Because when I was a kid, excuse me, I'm 56 now. When I was a kid, we learned none of that in school, none of it. And I was talking to my friend today. I said, I was like, you know, we were talking about the whole Department of Education and how it's just the money grab and it's protecting people that don't teach nobody nothing. And like I said, if these kids learn this from first grade and on, and if we learned it when we were back in this, you know, the 70s and 80s, I don't think we'd be going through none of this nonsense right now, because basically the left-leaning side, it's all about lies and protecting their friends and throwing each other money and enabling each other to do bad things. As opposed to when we were kids, we grew up learning to do the right thing. You know, you always try to do the right thing. And like I said, if you cemented this into these kids would know more and they would actually be free thinkers. I don't even think they'd need to go to college after that point, because they'd be like, well, I know where I want to go and I don't need someone to give me a piece of paper to tell me that I'm smart. You know what I'm saying? It's like we kind of weigh that out, but I really hope that when he gets in there and they have the boots on the ground to do what they got to do, I really hope that they reform this education system and tear it to pieces, because it's garbage. Because I'm a homeschooler, and we talk to, you know, my wife talks to kids that go to school. She can't believe the things that these kids are saying. She's just looking at them like the day after Trump won the election. You should have heard what some of these teachers were calling them. And
really?
I'm sitting there going, and these. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you were sitting there, and we're going, they said, what? And we're like, you know, this is the president. You know, this is the highest regard in our country to have respect for. And these teachers are so out of touch. You know, they're all waving that flag. And you're like, if it wasn't for freedom, you wouldn't be able to say anything that you're saying if you were in another country.
No, look, I think, Sean, it's a great idea. And again, I believe that moms and dads should ultimately be responsible for teaching their kids about American history. And because parents have pretty much abdicated the responsibility of teaching their kids to the federal government. I mean, that's when you send your kid to a public school, that's basically what you're doing. In reality, a lot of these parents aren't even following up. They don't go to the PTA meetings. They don't go to the school board meetings, and they don't have a clue what's been happening in those public school classrooms. And that's why all of these left-wing groups have been able to come in and infiltrate the classroom and basically turn those classrooms into I Hate America classes.
Yeah, because I have a friend. He used to live in Staten Island. That's where I'm from. And He, every day before he moved to Florida 3 years ago, his son was still in the school system. He would sit his son down every day he came home, and he would be like, what did you learn today? And he said, he goes, Sean, he goes, I would have to reprogram my kid every day, tell him that's not true. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie. And then he's like, let's go look and see what it really was and how we can really fix this. And he told his son, he said, he goes, whatever you do, do not open your mouth with what I've taught you. Go along with what they're telling you. But know this, that now you have this information and you have this knowledge and wisdom that you can see it. And he said, he goes, my son got it. He goes, my son would see it and know exactly what they were lying about, but he wouldn't open his mouth and he would just do his thing. You know, and I was impressed. I was really impressed by
Sean,
what he did.
This is amazing. There's a story out of Forbes magazine. Homeschooling has surged to nearly 4 million students. That's huge. Again, ladies and gentlemen, homeschooling now surging to nearly 4 million students. Many homeschoolers, now get this, how many hours a day are kids going to public school? What is it, 8 hours? 7, 8 hours? I don't know. It's ridiculous. Many homeschoolers complete their daily work assignments in just 2 to 4 hours compared to 7 to 8 hours in traditional schools. So the point of the story, though, from Forbes is that now 40% of all homeschool teenagers are starting businesses with the time saved from not going to school. Now, Sean, are you surprised to hear that you could have a son or a daughter that could launch some sort of a business instead of going to a public school?
Well, Well, the thing is, too, is all about that, is that it's like, it's funny because the way the homeschool group that my wife works within, it's hilarious because there's always a homeschool moment. And I laugh. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, we're always learning. We're always looking at stuff and we're always checking stuff out. It's not like we close the books and we're done. It's like all day is a learning experience. And that's what I think is the thing that's missing, too, is kids are always eager to learn, you know, and again, they just shut these kids down. And from what I'm understanding, from what I hear from certain people, there are actually teachers telling the kids, just read the book. I don't care. And they just sit there and they're like, and they're telling the kids, I'm getting paid.
Well, we got to root out. Yeah, Sean, I got to run. I appreciate the call. We got to root out all of that. And let me say something here. Donald Trump must eliminate the Department of Education. That is folks, if we go 4 years and that Department of Education is still intact in Washington, D.C., we will lose this country. I mean, it really is that simple. We have got to return control of our schools back to the local communities. But I want to get back to this homeschooling story, and I'm curious if you are like Sean, are you homeschooling your kids? Again, nearly 4 million teenagers, students, now being educated at home, and they're saying that because it only takes about 4 hours to complete all the daily classroom assignments, that these kids are now going out there and they're pursuing entrepreneurial ventures. According to Forbes, 2 in 5 homeschooled teenagers earn money online through businesses like apparel sales, game streaming, and product reviews. And that right there is the salvation of our country. I love that. This is amazing news. So, again, folks, right now it is imperative that you homeschool your kids until we can figure out what's going on in these public education system. Let's go to David in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Hi, David. What's on your mind? Hello, David.
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right.
Sir.
You're on the air.
I listen to a lot of different sources. My main first thing in the morning go-to source is Free Republic. And then after that, I aggregate out to other sites that if I see a story out there, then I do a little research and read it and elsewhere and make my own decision up about that. But I do have a question for you. Why do you have CBS News on your hourly reports? There is so much disinformation on that news site that I just have to ignore it to filter it out.
Well, David, first of all, this is a national radio program that you're calling into, and if you wanted to ask a question about the local radio station, you would need to call in and ask that question on the local side.
Actually, it's your. I get it on the web, so I get your station direct.
Right, right. So, well, look, we are required to carry top of the hour news, and that is the only news service made available to us. And there are two other news services that we would have liked, and we're not able to utilize those, and so we utilize CBS.
Okay. Well, anyway, I get my news from. I don't watch the TV news. I don't even watch Fox News because it's a lot of crap, and so I filter everything from online.
Well, I'll say this, David. I will say this about CBS News. They do one of the best jobs covering breaking news. If there are hurricanes, storms, disasters, terrorist attacks, they do a phenomenal job covering that kind of information. And I got to throw, I agree with every report that comes out of the radio side? No, but I can tell you this. They're doing a pretty good job overall. I disagree on some of the political stuff, but I can tell you that the other news coverage, it's straight down the middle.
Okay, well, I get my breaking news like that from different sources other than that, but it just kind of always bothered me why, especially their political stuff. Their political stuff is pretty left wing, and so. I get pretty aggravated listening to some of that stuff that when they come on at the hour. But anyway, that helped me understand it better, so I appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks for the call, David. We'll be right back.
Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, Maracas, senor, but his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness, Jim blurted, Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing. You could call them scent maracas, but most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So here's Axios, Jim Vandehei, and he is just enraged, giving a speech at the National Press Club, and he's very upset over Elon Musk and Elon's claim that the media has been replaced. Let's listen.
I hate this damn debate about, like, oh, we don't need the media. Like, it is not true. Think about what makes this. I love this country. I'm a beneficiary of this country. Like some from Wisconsin who can come and start two companies, be up here, win an award, sit next to Mikey. I'm a beneficiary of it. But there's something about the country. There's something about it, right? There's something about freedom, capitalism, the animal spirits of democracy. But at the core of that is maybe transparency, maybe a free press, maybe the ability to do your job without worrying to go to jail, maybe the ability to sit in a war zone and tell people what's actually happening so they're not just looking at distortion matters. It matters profoundly. It's why it's not like we just love getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning doing this every single day. Like, we do it because we love it. We do it because it matters. The work that we do matters. Everything we do is under fire. Elon Musk sits on Twitter every day, or X today, saying, like, we are the media. You are the media. My message to Elon Musk is, you're not the media. You having... you having a blue check mark, a Twitter handle, and 300 words of cleverness doesn't make you a reporter. Any more than me looking at your head and seeing that you have a brain and telling you have an awesome set of tools makes me a damn neurosurgeon, right? Like, what we do, what journalists do, what you did in Mississippi, what Al Jazeera does in the Middle East, you don't proclaim yourself to be a reporter? Like, that's nonsense. Like, being a reporter is hard, really hard. You have to care. You have to do the hard work. You have to get up every single day and say, I want to get to the closest approximation of the truth without any fear, without any favoritism. You don't do that by popping off on Twitter. You don't do that by having an opinion. You do it by doing the hard work.
All right, there you go. He's really fired up over all of this. Look, speaking of the reporters in the war zones and the front lines, Where's all the reporting from the front lines of this supposed war between Ukraine and Russia? Where are all of those reports? Because all we're seeing are the reports of the bars in Kiev and other places filled with young people, young Ukrainians, the beaches filled with young Ukrainians. I don't ever see any of that. But the reality of it is this, ladies and gentlemen, the jig is up with all these people. And the problem, and this is a big problem, and it's not going to be resolved, and I want to explain why. If you think the journalism schools in the taxpayer-funded universities are bad, a lot of them in the Christian universities are even worse, and they're churning out woke journalists. And I'm telling you, you got to be really careful where you put your money at these days, because you may have what you think is a rock-solid conservative Christian university that you're supporting, and guess what's happening? In reality, you know what's really going on? You've got a woke journalism department. And in many cases, the media is so far to the left that people don't even see that it's happening at their local Christian universities as well. It is a challenge. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have some very, very good journalists work for me over the years. And they've come out of some good schools. But a lot of the skill sets they learned, they didn't learn at school. They learned on their own, which goes back to this idea of, you know, maybe we ought to have a homeschooling university, too. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. Coming up the next hour, Congressman Tim Burchett joins us. Also, Liz Peek is going to drop by. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call. Write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Did you hear this crazy story? A Gallatin, Tennessee. Ben Dieter sent this one over. Something got terribly lost in translation with the librarians where they have donned their gay apparel. Literally, the public library facing a firestorm of controversy there in Gallatin, Tennessee. I believe that is just to the north of Nashville, over a gay-themed Christmas tree. Apparently, O. Tannenbaum was decorated with all the colors of the rainbow. So anyway, every year during the Christmas season, the library invites local nonprofit groups to decorate the stacks with about two dozen or so Christmas trees. And there is a group called the Nashville in Harmony organization. This is a musical arts theater group for people of all sexual orientations and identities. It seems to me that would be a given, right? I don't want me to be to paint with a broad brush here, but oh well, I don't know, guys. Maybe it could be that they were inviting. I guess there could be some heterosexuals in that group. I don't know. Maybe that's otherwise not much of a surprise. But I digress. The musical group, they're all about sexual orientations and identities and peace and harmony and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, all you know what broke loose. So the mayor's office immediately ordered the tree be removed from the library, saying that they don't allow any politically themed or politically charged trees in the library. And, of course, a lot of people are now very upset over this. And Ben, I don't know, folks. It just seems to me that this is a bit of a stretch, right? Because now the problem is the LGBT community at large, and I'm talking about the activists, they're basically wanting every holiday to be a gay holiday. And I think we have no one to blame for this other than ourselves, because we gave them an entire month, right? It wasn't good enough that they got a day, right, or even a week. So now it's an entire month. And now I think it's 2 months, because we celebrate. What do we celebrate in October? There's something that we celebrate in October with the alphabet people. But that's the problem here, is you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, so to speak. And here's what the Sumner County mayor, a guy by the name of John Isbell, says. I understand the tree holds value for some. Jeez. But it has unfortunately become a focal point of political discourse that is not conducive to unity in our community. And he's given that they had to uproot the tree and give it the heave-ho. So one critic is out there very upset because they said Christmas is about inclusiveness and accepting that the holiday is meant to celebrate love for everybody. That's, according to the Alphabet activist, that's what Christmas is all about. It's inclusivity. One critic saying this, it is so ignorant, it's literally a tree with rainbow ornaments. That's all. It's not sending out subliminal messages to straight people, magically turning them all gay. Well, I don't believe that was a concern among people. But again, there's already a holiday for the LGBT people. It's called the month of June. And if you want to decorate a tree, can't you do it in the month of June? Why do you have to do it at Christmas time? Why are you turning the month of December into a gay holiday? I don't understand that. Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, is about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And the reason for the season is not RuPaul. Don't mean to offend anybody, but that's just the God's honest truth there. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. There is a story out of the Times of London that's causing a bit of a kerfuffle, if you will. The Times of London now says that President Trump on day one will order all transgender military personnel removed from the U.S. Armed Forces. And I'm curious how you folks feel about that. Do you believe that, and again, this is coming from the Times of London, that the White House, the Trump White House, day one, plans to kick out all transgender personnel from the military. The president is expected to sign an executive order that would remove trans members as soon as the first day. Now, this is interesting because Pete Hegseth wrote a book, and Pete Hegseth is the nominee for defense secretary. And Pete Hegseth says that transgender people should not be serving in the military, and taxpayers should not be funding sex change surgeries for transgender service members. Because, by the way, you're doing that right now. You may not be aware. Pete Hegseth wrote in his book, some people join the military just to receive a free gender transition at the taxpayer's expense. I want to read this excerpt from Pete's book here. In 2016, the Obama administration conducted a study to test whether it was a good idea after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell to allow transgender soldiers to openly serve in the military. That study found that post-surgery transition soldiers would be non-deployable for 34 weeks. When the report was brought to then incoming President Donald Trump's attention, he promptly banned transgender soldiers from serving. However, in 2022, Biden officials reversed the policy and issued 1300.28, which not only waived 300 days for post-op transgenders, but also allowed for DOD hospitals to cover, get this, at your taxpayer expense, laser hair removal. Your tax dollars are also currently funding voice feminization surgery.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Guess what? I was able to do that without spending a single tax dollar. And oh, you're also paying for genital surgery. Just something to think about as you're figuring out what you can and cannot afford at the Piggly Wiggly. The military waived grooming standards and uniform standards for transgender soldiers as well. They then waived the standard that previously disqualified first-term elective surgery. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the question is, should President Trump remove transgender military personnel from service? This coming in from Newsweek just literally 15, 20 minutes ago. The Trump campaign is now pushing back on the Times of London report, and President-elect Donald Trump's transition team has dismissed a report that he plans to remove all transgender people from serving in the military. Now, this is interesting because this has been a big issue. Right now, there are about 15,000 active transgender service members who now face being medically discharged. According to the Trump transition team, this is a Caroline Leavitt. She told Newsweek the unnamed sources are, quote, speculating and have no idea what they are actually talking about. The decision on this issue, no decisions on this issue have been made. No policy should ever have been deemed official unless it comes directly from President Trump or his authorized spokespeople. So there you have it. Meanwhile, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote on X that she supports this move and it will improve recruitment and save money. So there you have it. Fair warning here, folks, and I'm just passing this along, and this is all baked into the cake. This is going to be a very gay-friendly administration, and I want you to be prepared for that, because there are going to be a lot of Christians that are going to, they're going to lose their rosary beads over this. But I just want to warn you, this is not a typical Republican conservative administration, all right? On these social issues, the administration will lean to the left, and that was sort of baked into the cake, and you can see some of that with some of the nominations that are coming in through the cabinet. This is who Donald Trump wants. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Do you believe that transgender personnel should be removed from the armed forces? This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
Oh, I love it. I'm 83 years old, and it has helped me.
Everything was okay. I feel better. I just turned 90, so I'm doing real good.
I'm doing great. You know, some guys tell me, oh, that's psychological, man. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. It's working.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
All right, apparently there's like a big nationwide Microsoft Outlook shortage or all sorts of weird stuff going on today in the digital. We're having some issues with our streaming, so we're not able to provide the video of the program today. But a lot of quirky stuff going on, and especially with Microsoft Outlook. So if any of you guys are having issues, that's the reason why. So, all right, there you go. I want to play some audio here. This is from President Trump's Surgeon General. This is the nominee. She's one of the Fox News contributors. Cut number 12.
Now have clear-cut, compelling data. A trial of 10,000 participants, this was just posted on the CDC website, that showed those who had a third dose, a booster shot, had significantly more improvement, more protection, more antibodies than those who did not have that third dose. So we definitely know, especially going into the winter holidays, having that extra protection can help minimize infection, can help minimize spread. So if you are especially over the age of 50, the CDC now recommends you should definitely get a booster. But over the age of 18, you can definitely get one as well, especially if you have asthma, diabetes, obesity.
And what it is now, COVID, you know, this new Delta variant hits right before school starts. And our top priority should be getting kids back into the classroom, but doing so safely. Here's the problem. Delta is different. And that's why the American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending that if you're going to be in a classroom, in a crowded classroom, then you want to protect yourself, wear a mask. Because a lot of kids, for example, under the age of 12, they can't be vaccinated. So it's important to point out, though, masking is not the only solution. We also need to make sure that we have good ventilation, that people are washing their hands, that they're getting tested, and that all the teachers are getting vaccinated as well.
First of all, vaccines save lives, and I am so excited, and I thank and I commend Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg for taking action, because this affects everyone. This affects our children. It affects adults. I mean, just look at the recent measles outbreak, the biggest outbreak that we've had in decades with measles, and that's no joke. Measles can cause brain inflammation and pneumonia and ear infections and hearing loss and death, so it's about time that they are taking action, and I hope and pray that other social media platforms will follow suit and do the same thing.
All right, so there you go. The person that President Trump wants to be the next Surgeon General, not Dr. Ben Carson, but Dr. Jeanette Nashiwat, who, I know I mispronounced her name, but come on, I'm not good with names. Anyway, she supports masking and the vaccine. So there you go. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Getting some information in here that Jack Smith has now decided to dismiss the election interference case. Again, this news just coming in, and I'll go through the court document here in the break. But we can now confirm that Jack Smith has filed papers. This pretty much ends the Lawfare case against President Trump. So this is great news, and not unexpected news. Also, this is Tom Homan. He is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Tom Homan is President Trump's border czar. And over the past week or so, we've had a lot of sanctuary cities that are being controlled by Democrats. And these governors and mayors are standing up and saying, we will not comply. We will, when it comes time to the roundup of the illegals, we are not going to comply. We're not going to allow any government officials into our cities, into our states, to remove these illegals. And Tom Homan is now issuing a warning that in the event a governor or a mayor intervenes, he will request the Justice Department charge officials with obstruction and harboring if they refuse to hand over illegal border crossers. I think this is a brilliant idea. And this is exactly what needs to happen. We got to start playing hardball here, folks. Congressman Richie Torres, a Democrat from the Bronx, blasted New York leaders over the weekend. And he's upset, and he's demanding, and I'm kind of glad to see this kind of stuff happening. But now you're starting to see some Democrats rising up and saying, we got to deal with this. We got a big problem on our hands here. And we've got to deal with the illegals that are in our towns and communities. But a lot of them are not. The mayor of Denver being one of them. And he's saying that he's going to openly defy the law. And I say, okay, then Mr. Mayor, you'll be spending some time in federal prison. It really is that simple, Mr. Mayor. It really is. As a matter of fact, Rand Paul says not only could the mayor be thrown in jail, but Mayor Mike Johnston of Denver could be removed from office if he tries to block the president's mass deportation orders. Rand Paul on Face the Nation over the weekend saying that I would say to the mayor of Denver, if he's going to resist federal law, then there's a price to be paid. There's a longstanding history of the supremacy of federal law. He's going to resist that. It'll go all the way to the Supreme Court. That's what Rand Paul says. And I would suspect that he would be removed from office. Mayor Mike Johnston vowing to protect illegals in his community. Many others as well. Johnston said he would use Denver's police force to stop federal forces from deporting migrants. What are they going to do? Pull guns on the military? Is that what he's suggesting? Johnston also said that not only would he protest the deportations, he would expect the citizens of Denver to do the same. That sounds like an insurrection or an uprising against the federal government. That's what it certainly sounds like. So anyway, Tom Homan says, all right, you go down that path, we're going to come after you. It's hammer time. So good for you, Senator Paul. Good for you, Tom Homan. And I think it's going to be bad news for all of you leftists out there. Because when you look at the polling data, the American people are fed up with what's happening right now in this country when it comes to taking care of all the illegals. And they say the illegals, they've got to go. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. 866-560-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Working.
I'm gonna need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm gonna need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room? My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.org and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.org.
All right. We had a story that came out late Friday from East Tennessee State University, and the school has an art gallery there, and they have these exhibits, and Campus Reform originally reported on the exhibit that was pretty controversial and had a lot of horrible things in it, including a KKK hood that was fashioned after using an American flag. Now, I reached out personally to the university. The university president said he found it all to be abhorrent, but then said that he would have to rely on state law. We don't know what that means. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line because our next guest is pretty riled up over all of this, Congressman Tim Burchett from East Tennessee. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Todd, and hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, you as well, Congressman. So let's get into all of this. So they've got this exhibit. Tell us about some of the things that are in this controversial art display.
Of course, you describe the Ku Klux Klan hood made out of an American flag. There's some stuff that's bad about President Trump, and then there's something about Mike Johnson. There's Nazi, I believe, swastikas and crosses crafted into all this stuff. And it's just, the whole thing is just it's repulsive to me. And they can do whatever they want to do. Just don't use my tax dollars to do it. That's my point. You know, all they're doing is trying to push the envelope and poke fun at all of us hardworking, red-blooded American taxpayers. And they get by with it because we let them. We keep hiring these people to run our colleges and universities, and then we wonder why our kids hate our country and turn out little Marxists. I mean, look at my friend AOC, and she is my friend, publicly educated with a degree in economics, and she is openly a Marxist. So she didn't just come wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a Marxist. She went to a publicly funded college or university and was taught that, and that's what we're teaching in our schools. The liberals attach a string to every dollar they give, and conservatives do not. We've got to start doing that. We've got to start flexing our economic muscle, if you will, and straighten this problem out. And this is just a microcosm. If this has happened in East Tennessee, imagine what's happening throughout our great country.
Well, that's what concerns me. And again, I'm with you. If they want to do that kind of stuff, then use their own dollars. There's no need to use taxpayer money. I just don't buy into the argument that, oh, well, you know, art's supposed to be controversial. It's supposed to provoke discussion. Well, I don't see him. I don't see Kamala Harris in a KKK robe.
No. As a matter of fact, this is just, they always wrap it up and try to poke at traditional Americans with this stuff. And it's just repulsive, Todd. And we've got to call it for what it is. This is just another attempt to indoctrinate our children or young folks, if you will, into hating this country even more. And, you know, they can hate us for free. We don't need to give them our tax dollars to help them do it.
Congressman, I'm curious, have you had a chance to talk to anybody at the university, find out what the status of the display is?
No, I wrote them a letter. I was leaving D.C., a pretty strong letter, and I have not had a response from them yet. I don't technically represent that area, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, who I totally suspect would do something like this. Actually, I was surprised when I looked down and saw it was ETSU. But I think what you're going to see is more and more of this stuff exposed because, as you're seeing, the so-called national media is going out of business because of the garbage that the indoctrination they pushed, and Americans said enough is enough. We're off that, and that's why every podcast and blog and talk radio show, that's where we're going to be getting our news from in the future.
No doubt about it. And I know that we've seen, you know, just increases in the number of listeners on this radio program. And I think people are just tired of the mainstream media, even a lot of the cable channels now. You know, people are just, they're done. And they want to come to a place where they're going to be able to get news and information. And I'm glad to see that, to be perfectly honest with you. Congressman, real quick, what do you think about I think it's a joke. I don't know. Elon Musk may be interested in buying MSDNC.
I would say, as I tweeted on my X account, at Tim Burchett, that's another hold my beer moment. When the left pokes him and says, oh, imagine that. I saw a thing where they were all a bunch of group thinkers. You know, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's a bunch of media types talking about how at a big conference about how backwards we were and how Elon Musk didn't understand the media and the people didn't, just leave it to us professionals. And that's the very arrogance that's caused them to go out of business. Just like my local newspaper, my daily. It's basically a rag. I get mine from a little newspaper called The Focus. It comes out once a week and that's what's happening all across this great country. People are saying, hey, you got a right to print it, but we don't have to buy it. And we don't have to buy our goods and services from people that advertise with you either. And I think you're seeing a big turnaround with that as well.
1,000%. Congressman, real quick, I wanted to get your take on the president's pick for labor secretary, causing a lot of angst in the conservative community. And there are other picks as well, but you came out and called her an excellent choice.
Yes, sir. Well, it's Department of Labor. Now, obviously, they're not going to pick somebody like me that has supported, right to work like we have in Tennessee. But I've found common ground. And I think the common ground is, let's start making stuff in this country. Let's not sell out like we've done to the Chinese and make it so they can make it cheaper over there because they're using dadgum slave labor. And then by forcing American businesses not to be able to do these businesses under the guise of environmental restraint. When I was mayor of Knox County, Todd, they had a thing where they said, we have too many parts per million of pollutants in the air. And come to find out, the pollutant monitor was in the Smoky Mountains where they did the controlled fires, where they would clean out areas. And it's called controlled burns, excuse me. And that's where they were judging it. And then we found that out. We went to even the Obama administration made a turnaround on that deal because that was just too obvious. So I think there's room to work with people. I think we've got to develop American jobs, and somebody like her is going to do that. And, you know, you're not going to put some economist that's just some right-wing economist in there, labor economist. You're going to have to get somebody that speaks their language. Trump has dealt with them. I give him credit for every pick he's made because they've been solid. And Trump is a chess player. He's not a checkers player, and he's not an average pool player. He's the guy that's not just aiming at the cue ball and just hitting the one ball or the two ball. He's three or four balls out when he's playing pool, and that's exactly what he's doing now. He's using a very strategic move. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's got the Teamsters on board, and that traditionally has been the Republican union. You remember they even endorsed Nixon back in the day. Reagan got along with them. I think there's room to work there. Let's put Americans back to work.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And again, I think people need to step back and understand that, you know, for example, the Christians, you know, he promised the Christian community, hey, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z for you. The Christians, you know, they gave him his vote. The reality is,
that's right,
the president made similar promises to other groups of people, and he's going to have to deliver on those. That may tick me off. It may not be my cup of tea, but that's the deal he made. He won in a landslide. He's got the popular vote. The guy gets whatever he wants, in my estimation.
Well, and remember, we didn't elect him to be our Sunday school teacher down at the Baptist Church. He's the guy that the only way they identified Soleimani, who was a horrible terrorist, by his ring finger, because that was all that was left of him. He didn't ask Nancy Pelosi for permission. He didn't ask for the dadgum United Nations. He sure as heck didn't come to Congress. He's a leader. We elected a leader, and we elect him to do his job. I say we let him do his dadgum job, and let's see what happens. It's got to be better in the last 4 years.
I completely agree. Congressman, good hearing from you. Tell me about, are you back in the district getting ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes, sir. I'm just going to get fat, eat a lot of turkey, and lay on the couch.
Oh, I love that. All right. Do you guys do the – now, are you a deep-fried turkey guy, or do you do the traditional roasting?
No, actually, we've done a little bit of both. We've smoked one, and then but I goofed up 1 year, and I forgot to put the water in, or the water ran out, and I went to sleep, and I dried it out. So I think we're going to oven it this year, just throw the old butterball in the oven and go traditional.
That's it. There's nothing wrong with that. All right.
But don't get me started on that cranberry sauce, okay? My wife and I almost broke up over the canned versus the traditional.
Now, we
just won't get into that conversation.
Okay. I want to save the marriage, Congressman, so we'll steer clear of that. All right, Congressman, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I love you, Todd, and the reason they're firing at people like you and me is because we're over the dadgum target. Let's keep it up. Pray for our country. Let's take our country back, Todd.
All right, let's do it, Congressman. Our good friend from East Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett, and got the turkey in the oven this go around. You know, that is interesting. A lot of people, I mean, they play hardball when it comes to the cranberry sauce. And I am curious from our audience, are you guys are you a traditional in the can, where you have to cut off the cylinders of cranberries, or do you like the fresh stuff? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Just a heads up, you may have noticed a few glitches here and there today. Apparently, there are some big computer outages, Wi-Fi outages out there. So really things out of our controls, but certainly our apologies there. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This item from the University of Tulsa. A University of Tulsa professor suggested that Barney the dinosaur is facing backlash due to white masculine resistance to alternative expressions of masculinity and homosexuality. Geez, Lou, that's a mouthful. This from the pages of Campus Reform, Patrick McDonald is the writer. The professor, Emily Contoy, a professor at the University of Tulsa, very concerned about Barney, and she believes that men need to behave more like Barney the purple dinosaur. She says the message about love, about nurturing, about looking after others, these are emotions and also sort of social practices and responsibilities that in our culture are constructed and understood to be sort of feminine and feminizing, which is because the ladies, the females, are the nurturers. She made her comments during a podcast called Generation Barney, the episode titled Love to Hate. Quote, Barney could be understood as resisting that, pushing back against that, offering a different model of sexuality and gender and size. So is she recommending that men of America be overweight and frolic about singing songs, painting their toenails. Barney has yellow toenails, by the way. I'm just asking. She says, for some of these men who reacted very poorly to him, that could be a piece of their reaction. A part of that white, masculine sort of set of authorities is also this incredible resistance to homosexuality. So is she saying now that Barney the dinosaur is gay, a member of the LGBT community? Is that what the professor at the University of Tulsa is suggesting here? Who was it? Oh, what was it? The Teletubbies. Remember the Teletubbies? And there was a big controversy a long time ago. One of the television evangelists thought that, the purple Teletubby was a gay. The others were straight or somewhat ambiguous, but they were determined to, they truly believed that the purple Teletubby, or was it the pink Teletubby? Barney is purple-ish. It's more of a, Barney's really not a, he's sort of like a magenta. Right? Anyway, the whole point of this is that she wants Barney the dinosaur to be used as sort of like an icon in challenging traditional gender norms and masculinity. Now, let me say this here, and I want you to hear me. You need to be very careful what your children are watching. And if your children are watching Sesame Street or Barney the Purple Dinosaur, if your kids are watching this, you need to be aware that there could be some very subtle indoctrination going on. Very subtle. So don't be surprised, I suppose, if your little boy comes up to you after watching Barney for a season and says that he wants to paint his toenails and he wants to eat a whole carton of Ho-Hos. Because that apparently is what manhood is. And by the way, this goes back to the whole point of why men in America overwhelmingly voted for Donald J. Trump. Because they're tired of this. They're tired of a society that says that there's something wrong with masculinity. And that if you want to be a man, that somehow makes you homophobic. This makes absolutely no sense, but this is what we're dealing with here. And I'm just telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is why Trump got elected, and the Democrats still don't get it. As a matter of fact, you had Donna Brazile on one of the cable news channels a few days ago saying that wokeness had nothing to do with Kamala Harris losing the presidency. I would contend it had everything to do with her losing the presidency. All right, we got to take a quick break here coming up. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. You can watch the Todd Stern Show. Newsmax, by the way, just filed to go public, guys, and this is pretty big news. Reuters, among those saying that Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in America. And I want you to get some more information on Newsmax's planned IPO. You could even be eligible to buy preferred shares at Newsmax right now before the IPO. You can find out more by going to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes magazine calling Newsmax a news powerhouse. So you now have a chance to become a co-owner of Newsmax by simply going to NewsmaxInvest.com. Make sure you consult with your attorney or financial advisor. Investors are also responsible for conducting their own diligence for any sort of investment and for tax and other ways. You guys know the drill there. So again, check out NewsmaxInvest.com right now, and you too can become a part owner in the hottest news brand out there. All right, coming up, we're going to be checking in with Liz Peek from over at Fox. Also, Art Alley, the founder and president of Timothy Plan, is going to drop by. Folks, a lot going on today. And again, there are apparently big computer outages all over America. Don't know what that's all about, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. As Americans prepare for Thanksgiving, there's one more thing to be thankful for. Much-needed relief at the grocery store and the gas pump. For the second year in a row, the average cost of a Thanksgiving meal is falling, and many grocery chains are offering deals for the holiday. According to the American Farm Bureau, the average price of the typical Thanksgiving dinner fell 5%, with turkey prices down 6%. And as more Americans are getting ready to travel to see family members and loved ones, the price of gas has fallen to its lowest point in more than 3 years. Prices at the pump are down about 25 cents per gallon compared to this time last year.
Yeah, this woman is the Baghdad Bob of our generation. That's Corinne Jean-Pierre, KJP, boasting about how Joe Biden has made Thanksgiving more affordable. The reality, though, is far different because grocery prices are still up more than 22% under the Biden-Harris regime. Gas prices are still up 30% under the Biden-Harris regime. And a typical Thanksgiving meal still costs about 20% more under President Biden. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, are you buying what KJP is selling here? That Thanksgiving under President Biden is more affordable now than it was during the Trump administration. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend, great columnist Liz Peek. Liz, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and much to be thankful for.
47 reasons, Liz, that I can think of right out of the gate. Wow. So KJP seems to think that all is well with the economy now.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, this argument was pretty well exhausted during the campaign, and Americans were not buying the argument that things are getting better and that they're now as good as they were. People know better. And I think continuing to harp on the fact that the rate of inflation has come down, which, by the way, is true, doesn't really make up for the fact that we had a couple of years of soaring inflation and prices are still way, way much higher on average than they were when Donald Trump was president. So the interesting thing is all of the last 4 months, somewhat lower rates of inflation.
Okay, guys, let's put Liz on hold there and see if we can't possibly work out that issue with the phone line. It's Monday, America. It's Monday. Liz has a great piece up on thehill.com. The headline, it's Elon Musk's America and the left can't stand it. The political left already hates Elon Musk, but its anger toward the disruptive billionaire, Tesla founder, and now Trump bestie is only going to get worse. It's true, right? I mean, again, going back to, and you have to go back in time here. It wasn't so long ago that Elon Musk was the darling of the left until he bought X. And that's when all you know what broke loose. All right, I think we have Liz Peek back with us now. And Liz, this article you wrote on The Hill, just absolutely phenomenal. But again, I think Elon has a Trump problem. You know, Trump used to be the darling of the Hollywood celebrities. Elon did too, until they found out that Elon actually embraces our Constitution.
Yeah. Elon Musk is the enemy number one of the left. And really, it all comes down to freedom of speech. The fact that he was willing to put $44 billion of his own money behind Twitter, expose the Twitter files, expose the fact that the government was colluding with social media companies to suppress dissident thought. I mean, that's a pretty shocking thing. And by the way, Todd, we have not even begun to punish the people responsible for that. That's an outrage to all Americans, and particularly because it happened during COVID. They were squashing legitimate doctors, raising legitimate questions, not just about vaccines, but about the source of COVID and so forth and so on. It was a nightmare. So now what Elon Musk is doing, which frankly has much greater long-term implications for the success of the left, is building up an AI alternative, XAI, as an alternative to OpenAI. Why is that important? Because his vehicle, Grok AI, in a sense, compared to ChatGPT, is going to be very influential in sort of how history is written. How do kids 10 years from now learn about economic systems and about the founding of our country? And I'll tell you what, thank the Lord that Elon Musk is in the mix, because otherwise you would basically have all these AI models, which increasingly is where people are going for information, determined and trained by leftist organizations, fed by leftist academics and other people who are feeding in the information that, satisfies their ideological bent. This is a big deal, and really no one's paying much attention, and thank heavens. Let Elon Musk develop his business, which, by the way, is now valued at $50 billion, and challenge ChatGPT and challenge the other players in this industry. We're all going to be incredibly grateful that he has done that.
Truly stunning. Liz, curious to get your take on the president's picks for the cabinet, specifically Treasury, where Wall Street seems to be pretty darn happy right now.
Yeah, I know Scott Bessent. I think he's great. There are plenty of things that needed disruption. Markets is not one of them. He knows markets. He knows trading. He has for some time been a very strong advocate of Trump's policies. And I think that's what you need in the Treasury. The fact that someone that Wall Street is comfortable with should not alarm people. This is just, it's a comfort level because he has expertise. He has knowledge. And by the way, he is totally aligned with Donald Trump and has been for some time. So I think it's a good pick. I was very happy to see it.
And, you know, it's interesting. We had Congressman Tim Burchett on in the last segment, and he was very supportive of Trump's pick for labor secretary, even though a lot of conservatives are concerned there. But I think it goes back to this coalition, this big tent that Trump put together. And ultimately, Burchett said, I may not agree with a lot, but we can agree on wanting to bring American jobs back to America.
Absolutely. I think there are some tensions, Todd, and this is certainly one of them, a pro-business tension compared to a pro-labor. As you say, there's a big tent now for Republicans talking to union workers, working men and women across the country, but also small business owners and big business owners. Look, the country is not going to prosper unless businesses do well. So, yes, there is some, I would say, disagreement on, I don't like the fact that this person has been in favor of the PRO Act. I am very anti the PRO Act. That is a legislative proposal put on the table by Biden early on that basically would get rid of right-to-work states. I disagree with that 1,000%. I think if people don't want to join a union, they shouldn't have to join a union. So there are going to be disagreements over this. But look, I think what we're seeing is people willing to disrupt the status quo, work towards the Trump vision of American growth and prosperity. And yeah, that should include a whole lot of different viewpoints. This is not the Democrat White House where everyone is on the same page. Everyone's on the progressive, disaster route. This is Republicans all thinking through important problems and getting our country back on track. That's what we're seeing.
All right. Well, Liz, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate the great insight, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving weekend.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to your listeners. Appreciate that.
Liz Peek, everybody, and she is spot on the money, as always. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Well, this is interesting. Two-thirds of Americans prefer leftovers than Thanksgiving meals. According to a new survey of 2,000 people who celebrate Thanksgiving, nearly 70% believe a sandwich made from the leftovers taste better than the original meal itself. I believe that, actually. You know, a lot of, at least in the Stearns family, it was, you know, sort of the, you have your big meal, and then by, you know, by dinner time, late in the evening, you're making that turkey sandwich. And a lot of people are really particular. I remember my grandfather was a huge, he loved the turkey sandwich after Thanksgiving dinner. And it was always the same. He would have some Sunbeam white bread, some Hellman's mayonnaise, and turkey. And that was it. That was the only, that was the turkey sandwich for Grandpa Starnes. Now, I will say this. I'm one of my northern family members introduced me to this very unusual Thanksgiving sandwich, leftovers, where you put, you got the white bread, some mayonnaise, then you put the cornbread dressing and the cranberry sauce and some turkey, and then you have a sandwich. It's sort of like Thanksgiving a Thanksgiving meal between two pieces of bread. So there you go. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Do you prefer the leftovers to the Thanksgiving meal itself? According to this report, the survey found that people love, even prefer, the taste of Thanksgiving leftovers, but apparently do not store them properly, which is creating another big problem. So anyway, good for you guys. What a great story there. So, all right, I want to play some audio. This is from, wow, Joyless Reed. So she is leading this effort to ban Trump supporters from your Thanksgiving meal. So if you have family members and they support Donald Trump, she's telling you to stay away from them, even if it means missing out on Thanksgiving Day. Here's Joy Reid.
People are rightfully alarmed. They have a reason to be alarmed. And if you would vote for that, people may not feel so confident that they're safe with you. This is not crazy. This is legitimate feelings of fear of you and a feeling that you might not be someone they could trust. If this thing goes way south, autocracies go south real fast, and things get ugly, and people get asked to do things and turn people in and point people out and turn on them. And if you're voting affirmatively, gleefully for this, and people might, I don't know, may not feel so confident in you anymore. That's real, and you kind of have to live with it. So if you think that you can vote for what people see as their destruction and then demand that they still are cool with you and kiki with you and have Thanksgiving with you, like, I think you're kind of missing the point of what people are upset about. They're afraid. And autocracy and fascism are things that are legitimate to be afraid of. So you may want to step back.
Wow. These people, they would really be willing to give up a delicious homemade Thanksgiving meal simply because they got triggered and they came down with a case of the TDS. So my question to you is this: what do you tell those family members who hate Donald Trump? Do you still invite them to Thanksgiving dinner? There's a story in Teen Vogue, and the headline is that Latina teenagers, these are the Hispanic teens of America, they're feeling isolated and angry because their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles voted for Donald Trump. Do you see what your public school system is doing here, ladies and gentlemen? They're literally turning your kids against you. That's what this is. According to Teen Vogue, a large swath of left-leaning Latinx, that's L-A-T-I-N-X, teenagers are upset. That's a fake name. That's a made-up word, by the way. The Hispanic community hates that word. But anyway, a large swath of left-leaning Latino teenagers are upset by the results of the election, swallowing a bitter pill with Harris's loss, and fearing a world where Trump's campaign promises can become reality. Well, if you're legal, you're fine, but if you're not, you better pack a bag. Feelings of isolation and anger have taken over their lives. Heated arguments over ideological differences have left some questioning their relationships with family members. And where is all of this coming? It's coming from the public schools that have been indoctrinating your kids. It's unacceptable. And we got to fix it. Let's go to the phone line. Statesville, North Carolina. Patty, listening to us on WSIC. Welcome to the show.
And Todd, you know, happy Thanksgiving and be safe. But I have a hat on right now. My daughter got it for me. My kids are great because they're all Trump supporters. I don't have that problem in my house. I'm not kidding. And my grandkids come in here. Could you imagine? And everybody's a Trump supporter. Woohoo! I'm not kidding.
So, Patty, you're telling me you're blessed because everybody in your family supports Trump.
Yeah, they all have a braid in their head.
Well, that's true.
And it, look where it came from, Todd. It came from the leader of the MAGA. No, it did not. They think on their own, okay? My kids, my grandkids do. But they're coming here, and they love it. They love me because I'm crazy. And you know what? I want to wish you, your staff, Vin Dieter, who I love, and I want to say something. Make America Thanksgiving again.
Ooh, make America Thanksgiving again. Oh, Matt.
I have it on my head right now. My daughter got me a hat saying that.
I love it. I love it.
And I love you, Todd. Be safe. Go out there and enjoy yourself. This is the best Thanksgiving I'm having in 4 years, Matt.
Patty, I am going to be so happy. There are so many, and there's so much for us to be thankful for. And I just thank God that he gave us a second chance. He spared us from the fascist, and I am incredibly thankful for that. Patty, it's great hearing you, and I hope you and your family have an incredible Thanksgiving. By the way, Paul Shanklin, our great parody writer, says, Todd, we make Thanksgiving waffles. The waffles mix a bit of cornbread dressing and bits of turkey meat, savory tasting waffles, and then maple syrup and some fruit on top for the sweet part. So there you go. Turkey waffles. I've never heard of such a thing, but there you go. All right. Got a question for you here, and we're going to dig into this right after the bottom of the hour break here. People are now feeling conflicted. There is a vegetarian and his vegan influencer girlfriend, and the vegetarian is demanding that his mother create a 100% plant-based Thanksgiving meal. And he's upset because the family's pushing back. So what do you tell? Jeez, Lou. What do you tell this vegetarian and his vegan influencer girlfriend? I'd just send him out to the backyard. Just snatch up some grass and have at it. 901-260-5926. That's our number, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, so Jack Smith officially dropping the election interference case. It's over, folks. And now Jack Smith better lawyer up. He's going to need it. Jonathan Turley reminding everybody that he wrote over a year ago there was a good chance Jack Smith would never see the inside of a courtroom for a trial in this case. And it really made the election the largest effective jury verdict in history by re-electing Donald Trump, which is absolutely true. So, again, now is the time for not even retribution. It's a time for justice. And Donald Trump is due justice. I mean, how many times have people, you know, declared war on Trump? What was it, going back to 2017? James Comey said he's going to get Trump. And then the following year, Robert Mueller said, I'm going to get Trump. Michael Avenatti saying, I'm going to get Trump. Letitia James, I'm going to get Trump. Attorney General Merrick Garland, I'm going to get Trump. Jack Smith, I'm going to get Trump. Fonnie Willis, I'm going to get Trump. Alvin Bragg, he said he was going to get Trump. And you know what happened? All of them, their careers in tatters, They hold their heads in shame, and Donald Trump is the next president-elect of these great United States. I would say that's hashtag winning, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to read this crazy story here. A woman wrote into Reddit, and I guess that's sort of like Dear Abby these days. And she was very conflicted because her brother, who is in his 30s, he's 35 and she's 31, and they don't get along. When her brother was a teenager, he saw a documentary about factory farming and became a vegetarian. And then he got very, very intense about it. Then the brother tried to get the rest of the family to convert to veganism and was unsuccessful. So then the guy goes off to college. He meets a lot of like-minded vegetarian friends and went militant. So now he's a militant vegan. The woman writing, it's his entire life. I stopped talking to him after he threw a fit about one of my birthday dinners being at a steakhouse. Oh, yeah, I can see where that would be problematic. He then spammed messages in social media with cruel photos of abused cows. May I say, the only thing abusive about a delicious steak dinner is putting A1 steak sauce on top of the meat. The woman says, my parents have been trying to repair our relationship. And for a while, it did seem like Mark, that's the vegan, was getting less hostile. So I've been letting him back into my life gradually. Then he started dating Pam, who is some kind of vegan influencer. What does that mean? What is a vegan influencer? Is that like somebody who like works in the produce section? I do not know. The writer goes on to say, Pam is moderately popular online, but I have no idea exactly what she does. I don't know if Mark was trying to impress her or what, but last Thanksgiving, he insisted my mother cook at least a vegetarian meal or they would not come on ethical grounds. My mom wanted everybody to get along, so she agreed, but it was not a fun meal. And you know why? Because nobody wants a tofu turkey. Nobody wants to see that mess, that big glob jiggling in the middle of the... Nobody wants to see that. They want to see a big, juicy bird because that's why God made turkey, so that we could celebrate Thanksgiving. She goes on to write, this year my parents have downsized for retirement and my mom is having health problems. Oh, that's sad. I bought their house when they moved, so my mom asked me to host Thanksgiving so it would be like usual. I shared that I would be hosting in our family group chat. Oh, those are always, those can get a little funky, those group chats, especially the family group chats. So she announced that she would be hosting in our family group chat so Mark and Pam could make travel arrangements. Pam immediately started gushing about all the vegan replacement recipes that she could give me to replace the traditional ones. So I replied, send me a main dish recipe that you like and I'll give it a shot. But I'm also making turkey and dressing and giblet gravy and cranberry sauce. And there should still be plenty of other things that you can eat. Well, Mark and Pam became enraged and they argued about it for days. And then Mark said that if I didn't make a meat-free meal, they would not come. She said, I've already offered to make sure there's a main dish and sides they can eat. Mark and Pam will not show up if anyone else eats meat at the meal. If any meat is served to anyone, they won't come. Doing multiple meals that day or across multiple days is a no-go. I'm a newly minted critical care physician at an understaffed hospital during a major holiday week, and I will have a limited time window or window of time between shifts. My dad privately agrees with me, but Mark's threatening not to come is upsetting my mom so much that he's worried it'll impact her health. And so she's asking people, what should she do? Why is this that difficult? Tell Mark to shove the tofu where the sun don't shine. How's that for starters? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with this country where we would even remotely tolerate this? Why would you have to write this long story on Reddit to try and figure out what to do? You're serving turkey. If they want to bring kumquats or, I don't know, a rutabaga salad or whatever, tell them they can bring whatever they want. But you are serving turkey. How hard is that? I just don't understand people. Why are they so afraid? It's not even confrontation. You don't want to come for Thanksgiving? Fine. No problem. More turkey for the rest of us. And giblet gravy. It always goes fast at the Starnes household. So, again, I'm not quite sure why people are so hell-bent on accommodating these folks. Or you can tell them to go out into the backyard, snatch up some grass, and you'll have some ranch salad dressing for you. By the way, speaking of that, I was at Kroger yesterday. I kid you not. I was at Kroger yesterday, and I was doing my shopping, and I was looking for, I tried to get some Hellman's mayonnaise. So I was down the condiment aisle, and there it was. The ranch salad, you know, back in the day, used to have ranch salad dressing, right? And it was, that was it. But now you have all these flavors of ranch. You're not going to believe this, folks. They're now selling plant-based ranch salad dressing. I can't even imagine what is it chalk? Chalk flavored with garlic? I don't know what it is. But anyway, pick up some of that and tell the vegan family members, you know what? We've got some fresh grass out back. I'll pluck you up some and we'll make a lovely salad for you. Put it in the blender and we'll make a matcha. Mm-mm. Liquefied long clippings. That's tasty stuff right there. 901-260-5926. So what do you want to tell this? What would you tell this lady? She is confounded and she doesn't know what to do. She's reaching out to America to give her some advice on how to deal with the vegan family member. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's go to the phones here. Richard in Ocala, Florida wants to weigh in on the vegans. All right, Richard, what do you do here?
Well, just when I was a boy growing up, my mother used to serve ham and turkey both. But in this case, I'd suggest to her that she serves ham, turkey, and roast beef and don't say nothing to them. Just invite them. If they don't like it, they can go home.
Right. You see, I like that thinking. You either eat it or you go hungry.
That's right. There ain't nothing wrong with that. They're being ridiculous.
Exactly. And the same thing. Look, fine, if you're a vegan family and you want to invite people over for a vegan Thanksgiving and you take up the invitation, well, you got to eat what's on your plate. So, all right. Well, Richard, happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's go to Lisa in Gainesville, Georgia. All right, Lisa, what say you?
Well, I would like this boy's number because I have a ton of things I would say to him. This girl, the sister, she's got to toughen up. They sound like Democrats try to cram the stuff, their ideology down their other family's throat. It's awful. We have a couple of vegetarians in our family. They bring the jiggling tofu turkey, and we make fun of them the whole time. That's great. We laugh, and it's great. But we all eat turkey. They can eat their vegetarian.
I'm with you, Lisa. I mean, look, and I tell people, you know, they go, oh, well, I'm vegan. Okay, great. It's turkey. Have at it. It's.
I agree.
I don't know.
This girl needs to tell her brother what's going on. It's her house. She bought the house. Don't come if you don't like it.
1,000% accurate, Lisa. I'm with you. All right, Lisa, thank you for calling. 901-260-5926. Well, a brand new CBS News poll finds that President Trump is starting out on a pretty darn positive note. Most overwhelming numbers of the country approve of the transition. And a lot of people are very excited about what's going to happen with the economy. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend Art Alley, the founder of the Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com is the website. That's TimothyPlan.com. Art, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Boy, it's a happy one this year, Todd.
Wow. You know, people are just really excited. You know, people are smiling in the supermarket. I don't know if you've experienced that, Art, but folks are really in a good mood.
I'm telling you, I think we really do realize that there, and I just love his selections for all of these different positions, man. You know, it's not the swamp as usual, and it doesn't matter whether there's an R or D after their name. They're all part of the establishment. Not this time. He learned a lesson, I think, last time, and he's got some good people.
Art, let's take a look at what's happening out there. And I'm just curious, you know, a lot of people are getting ready to go Christmas shopping. In your experience, have you noticed any correlation between consumer spending habits and the public's attitude towards a new presidential administration?
Oh, only every time, Todd. I mean, you know, when people feel the pressure and feel the press like we have for 4 years, you know, they pull back. They are getting their necessities, but not with the exuberance that we're seeing this year. It should be a very good year in the retail space because people are finally seeing hope for our future instead of just some dismal same old, same old.
So what are you going to be looking at, Art, as far as economic indicators, the first 100 days of the new administration to gauge, you know, consumer optimism and investor optimism?
Well, I think all that will do nothing but continue to increase. I mean, he's going to clean this mess up. Not him, but he's selecting those that will. And, man, I love his pick of these two guys that are going to examine all of the government waste and you know, this whole bureaucracy is really in trouble right now. And I am as positive, and I wasn't that way, you know, 6 months ago. I'm as positive as I've been in a long, long time for the future of America. Does that mean the market's going to go up every single? No, it's not going to do that. But does it mean that we are on track where we don't have to be concerned with a major crash anymore? And I don't know. I'll leave smarter guys than me, but I'm not looking for a crash right now. I think we're in pretty good, solid footing, but time will tell.
Look, Art, you've been doing this for more than 30 years now, a Timothy plan helping investors, you know, achieve their financial goals. And I have to imagine a lot of people are going to start looking at the opportunities to invest, maybe kids getting some Christmas money, and they're going to want to invest that. And it's important to, especially if you're a person of faith, to make sure that you are investing in a biblically responsible way. What do you mean by that?
Well, we built an entire family of mutual funds on that very plank, Todd, as you well know. We will not, for our shareholders, allow our money managers to invest in any company, for lack of a better term, that's trying to destroy us. Some of these corporations are heavily involved in funding abortion, pornography, LGBTQ++, whatever that stands for. I mean, corporations have no business doing that. You know, I'm not asking them to go down to the river and get baptized, although I wish they would. But don't go on the other side. Stay out of the culture war would be my message to corporate America. But they are funding a lot of really bad stuff in way too many cases. And when they do, we will not own shares of their stock for our shareholders.
What I find fascinating, Art, because now they call it like the Patriot economy or an alternative economy. You really originated that idea. You know, why should we, as people of faith, why should we be investing in companies that want to destroy the very values that we believe in?
Well, absolutely, you should not. But, you know, people just don't know, and unless you're in the business and full time like we are, you wouldn't know what some of these companies are doing. You go to your financial advisor, he puts together a nice portfolio. He doesn't know what some of these companies are doing, and you inadvertently end up betting against yourself. I mean, if Todd, you are pro-life, I am pro-life. How much money do you want to have invested in abortion?
Zero.
Zero. How much in pornography? Zero. how much in promoting this radical LGBTQ, transgender, all of that nonsense? Zero. That's what Timothy brings to the table. You don't have to be concerned. We do the heavy lifting. In fact, have your financial advisor folks call us and we'll educate them on how to know where they're helping you put your hard-earned investment dollars.
Well, I love it, and I love what you guys are doing, Art, and you've been doing it for so many years, and people have been so, so happy with the investment guidance and advice that you guys are sharing. And again, folks, if you would like information, go to timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. Or you can call. And, Art, what's that number if people want to call in?
It is 1-800-TIM-PLAN.
All right.
Plan for Timothy Plan or 846-7526.
That's 1-800-846-7526. 1-800-TIM, T-I-M. Plan, P-L-A-N, or you can go to timothyplan.com. Well, Art, always love having you on the program, and hope you and your family have a terrific and blessed Thanksgiving.
Boy, same to you, Todd. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Our great friend Art Alley, ladies and gentlemen, and I am telling you, you want to change America, and you want to change the way that you look at investing, you got to go check these folks out, timothyplan.com. This is how you change America and how you change the culture in corporate America. Start investing based on your values. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be good, America.